Revelation 18. While you're turning, I just want to mention that had Masters Men Ladies Auxiliary last night, and Brother Jackie brought the message.
Amen.
And if he was a preacher, I'd tell him like I had preachers tell me before. I won't preach that within 100 miles of your church. What he brought last night needs to be brought in every church.
Come on, preacher.
And you're going to probably hear it again. I'm just telling you. Nevertheless, at thy word. Go back and study that scripture. We're to launch out into the deep. Peter was tired. Peter was upset. He thought he knew everything. He said, but nevertheless, at thy word. At his word, amen, we're supposed to praise him. At his word, amen, we're supposed to pray. At his word, we're supposed to be faithful to church. At his word, amen. Jackie, I want to tell you again, son, that was good. That was good, amen. Revelation 18, when you get there, let's stand. We're going to read all 24 verses because it ain't going to take me long to preach this. I'm just being honest, amen. Revelation 18, if you're there, say amen. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow gave her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off from the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, this great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen, purple and silk and scarlet and all thine wood. And all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men and the fruits that thou soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in one hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all companies in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is likened to this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her coastliness. For in one hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles, and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters and shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of earth, for by the sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word, God. Lord, we go back to the very first sermon, Lord, on the book of Revelation, that we know we're going to be blessed by reading and by hearing these words, God. God, I pray right now, Lord, over the next few days, God, Lord, that everyone under the sound of my voice would be blessed, God, and they would be able to see your hand bless them because they sat under the reading of the book of Revelation. God, help us as we try to expound on this just a little bit. Touch our hearts, touch our minds. Whatever's done tonight, we're going to make sure you get all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, in chapter 17, we witnessed the fall of the great worldwide religion or worldwide system of the Babylon. We call, you remember we said it's not only a city, it was a system. It is a religious system, and I believe it all kind of starts with the Catholic Church at this time. That is the most widely known denomination just about in the world right now. The Vatican is one of the richest. Vatican City is its own nation. The Pope is his own ruler. He don't answer to nobody. That kind of just gives you a little idea of what's going on. This worldwide religion that is placed in idolatry and it's a cult. In this chapter, we're going to witness the fall of commercial Babylon or the city of Babylon. In the days of tribulation period, men are going to build an economic empire like never before. But through the mark of the beast and through the Antichrist and the beast and all that, there will be an economic superpower built on this earth. And it's going to fall and crumble, and one day, just like the Bible just said, and one day and in one hour, it's all going to come down. That just tells you how mighty our God is. Amen. Satan has been building this thing for 6,000 years. Satan has been working on this thing for 6,000 years. And then it's going to all accumulate when the tribulation starts. He's going to think he's got it all under control. And in less than 24 hours, God's going to bring it to naught. Somebody ought to shout right there, amen. That tells you how powerful our God is. Amen. Just like, you know, we studied the book of Job just a few weeks ago. I mean, Satan still got to go before God and ask for permission. Satan has got to go before God and ask for permission just to walk around this earth. Amen. Satan's got to go before God and ask for permission to hinder each and every one of us. Satan has got to get clearance from God to come and fight against me. Amen. That's my God. Now, let's get into this. The announcement of the fall of Babylon in chapter 1 through verse 8, that's the announcement and the appeal that we find. We find that an angel comes down. He is filled with light and glory. And how do we contrast that with what's going on the earth at that time? Pure darkness. And this angel comes down from God. He's full of light and glory. Verse 2 and 3 talks about the corruption, the religious corruption. Ancient Babylon, it talks about the soothsayers, the magicians, and the sorcerers. Number one that's going to be going on in that city at this time is demonism. Notice what the Bible says. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils. We know from studying the book of Revelation that the angel has got the key to the bottomless pit. It's going to be open. All these angels that have been held down and chained down for eternity is going to be turned loose on the earth. And at this point, in this right here, studying this today, I was thinking about it. At this point, my mind went back to Ephesians. When you think about how our governments are doing today, When we think about how governments, not only in America, but all across the world are doing today, Ephesians chapter 6 tells us this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That word principalities there, it comes from the Greek word that basically means power, principalities, or rulers. The word powers in that scripture there, it basically means magistrates or superhuman potentates. This is talking about demonic spirits or demonic entities that have been set up around the world. How else can we explain the stupidity going on in the world today? Somebody say amen right there. I'm telling you, you got to be demon-possessed to believe some of the nonsense that we have to see on TV. You got to be demon-possessed to believe some of the nonsense that we've got going on in America right now. I'm trying not to get on a rant, but it would be real easy, amen. But just think about how, I'm going to throw this in there. Listen. One of the reasons I believe we're seeing what we're seeing today in America, now you think about this. When I was growing up, and me and Adrian kind of talked about this a little bit last night. When I was growing up, Mike, I would go to convenience stores. I never smelled incense burning. I never saw little Buddhas sitting on a counter. Amen? But now we got all these influx of all these people coming from other countries, and guess what they're doing? They're bringing their gods with them. Amen. Amen. I mean, you can't even go in a convenience store now without seeing somebody with a dot on their head. And if you see somebody like, and I am not trying to be racist. That is not what I'm talking about. But when they come over here, they got their little gods sitting up on the counters. They got their little gods sitting in the back room. And I'm telling you right now, this nation was founded as a Christian nation, and we are to get back to God. If we'll ever get back to putting Jesus where Jesus needs to be, we won't have to worry about all this stuff. The word rulers right there is a word, that you break that word down, it means a world ruler. That's the Antichrist. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the Antichrist when it's talking about the principalities. So that right there, and it goes on demonism. It goes on to talk about drunkenness. The entire world system is smitten with her charms. They are made drunk by her allurements. It talks about what this is talking about. The unbridled wickedness that's going on in the world today. When I was growing up, I mean, all the homosexuals was in the closet. Now it seems like all the Christians are in the closet. I mean, what was perversion when me and Brother Robert was coming up in school is now supposed to be all right. And what was all right when we were coming up, I mean, you know, it used to be all right for a man to look like a man. It used to be all right for a woman to look like a woman. It used to be all right. I mean, used to be a shame for somebody to be a drunk. Ain't no shame no more. Used to be a shame for somebody to be an adulterer. Ain't no shame no more. Used to be an abomination for somebody to be a homosexual. Ain't no shame no more. I'm just telling you, folks, this is when it's talking about being the drunk with the wine of her fists, it's talking about the immorality that's going on not only in America. Let me tell you something. Folks, it was going on in Europe a long time before it got to America. I was able, in 2003, a friend of mine paid for a trip, and I was able to go to England and France, and I won't never forget it. Adam, we was on a bus, so we're going in, and we're on there with a Christian school, and I'm on there with a bunch of rednecks from Conway. I can talk about them because I are one. Amen? But I'm on there with these here 18 and 19-year-old youngins from Conway, South Carolina, in the Conway area. And we're coming in there, and on Main Street in Paris, France, there's two men walking down the road holding hands, and the bus comes to a stop, and all these boys and girls is looking out there at them two men. They kiss right on the street. They had a fit on that bus, which they should. But see, now it's in Charlotte. And if you ain't careful, it's in Lancaster. And if you ain't real careful, it's in the Beaufort community. That's how the world is. And the Bible says it's going to get worse. Because we ain't even got to this point yet. I'm just telling you, that the Bible talks about the condition. In verse 4, God's people are called to separate from them. Notice what verse 4 said. This is it. That was the announcement. Now let's look at the appeal. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out from her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Let me tell you something, folks. If we want to live right, and we want to have our lives right, we got to be separated from that kind of nonsense. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be fathers unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. We're not supposed to look like the world. We're not supposed to walk like the world. We're not supposed to talk like the world. We're supposed to be separated. Amen. Amen. I believe we ought to dress differently than the world dresses. Amen. We ought not be trying to act like the folks in Hollywood, because half that crowd ain't saved nohow. There's a bunch of them on there, Jamie, that claim to be saved. But don't tell me you saved and then you cuss like a sailor. Amen. Don't tell me you saved and then you drink like a fish. I'm just telling you, they got to be a separation. Amen. And that God is trying to call them out. Verse 5. Look what verse 5 says. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. I thought about it as I was studying this. We know that Babylon is named after the first city that Nimrod did. Nimrod was the one that tried to build the Tower of Babylon, the Tower of Babel. That's where Babylon got its name. And we understand that when they were building the Tower of Babel, they could not reach heaven. Even though they could not reach heaven, the Bible says in verse 5 right there that the sins have reached heaven. Let me go ahead and tell you something. God already knows everything going on in our life. Amen. Ain't nobody hiding nothing from God. Understand. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of trials going on in Washington, and there's a lot of stuff going on in Washington that people are getting away with. They might be getting away with it in Washington, but they ain't getting away with it in heaven. Amen. And I'm telling you right now, folks, you and I can live like we want to live, but I'm telling you, God already knows. He knows everything about us. Look, verse 6 said, double payment is going to be required. Reward her as she rewarded you. And double unto her, double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. My. All the atrocities down through the years. Remember I told you the last time when I preached on this a couple weeks ago about Revelation 17, this was the economic system. This was the system of Babylon. All the martyrs from the beginning after the church was built, started to now is God attributes the blood to Babylon. All the sin throughout all history, God is attributing that to Babylon. And understand something. When God starts pouring out listen, we're already past all the things that we preached about as far as the sun turning so hot that it melts things and burns people and all the demonic spirits, and God's still pouring out wrath. Folks, sin ain't nothing to play with. God don't play with sin. You and I shouldn't play with sin. I'm just going to be honest with you. There've been times in my life, Brother Robert, and I'm just being honest, okay? There've been times in my life, Brother Mike, that I played with a little bit of sin since I got saved. I know y'all don't do that, but just let me preach the sermon tonight, amen? I know y'all holy, and y'all just great people. I realize that. I realize Michelle ain't never broke an egg. But if we'd all be honest, we've all had a little something. that we should have nipped in the bud a long time ago. Until it comes back to bite you. And then you realize, man, I wish I'd have got rid of this. Because God don't play with sin. Bible says in verse 7 that pride had filled her, and she believes that she's not going to be punished. Look at verse 7. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall not see sorrow. That's the pride that Satan's got. And we all in this that claim Pride Month. There ain't nothing about it I'm prideful for.
Amen.
It's an abomination as far as I'm concerned. That's what the Bible says it is. But the Bible says right there that her pride, she believes she's not going to go unpunished. But verse 8 says that judgment's going to fall, and it's going to fall swiftly. Her desolation comes in a single day. Amen. God is so powerful, he is going to dispense judgment when he's ready to dispense judgment. Now let's look at verse 9 through 20, the attitude toward the fall of Babylon. There's four reactions to the city, of the fall of the city. Verse 9 and 10, and I'm going to kind of go through this. I'm not going to go back and read everything. Verse 9 and 10 talks about the monarchs, the kings who have prospered because of Babylon. Remember I told you there's going to be an economic system set up during the tribulation that people are going to be multi-billionaires, filthy rich. These kings are monarchs who have prospered. They're looking at this. And then you got in verse 11 through 16, the merchants, they weep because the money that they're going to lose. Let me ask you a question. Where's your treasure at? Where's your treasure at? If we're not careful, I hope somebody's listening. We're getting ready to go into an election. I hope you got enough common sense to vote like the Bible says vote, and not like your pocketbook says vote.
Amen.
See, this administration we got now, they're just dealing it out, trying to buy votes. Understand something, folks. We need to stand up for what's right. But the Bible says where your heart is, that's where your treasure's going to be. Amen? Amen. I can tell you how much you love Jesus if you let me see your tithing statement. It always gets quiet when you say stuff like that. I'm just telling you right now, it always gets quiet when you start talking about tithing. And I'm gonna just go ahead and throw this out there while I'm explaining this, amen. 10% of everything you bring in is God's. Off the top. That's off the top now. You don't pay all your bills and then try to give God 10%. That's not what the Bible says. Amen. So if you bring in $1,000, I'm going to simplify the math. $100 of it is God's. Amen. So where's your heart? Where's your heart? Where are you laying up your treasures at? I was watching Adrian Rogers today. And I just preached this a couple months ago about how it's a sin to miss church. Obviously, everybody didn't listen. Some of y'all watching on Facebook, the Bible never talks about Facebook. The Bible says assemble yourselves together. Amen. There won't be many likes, right? There won't be even many thumbs up on that Facebook passage right there. Amen. That's what the Bible says. I'm just telling you, folks, we need to get back to what, Adrian Rogers today said, if you miss church, I doubt your salvation. Amen. Amen. But that's what the Bible talks about that. And then it talks about verse 17 to verse 19, talks about the mariners, the men that too much materialism is going to leave for nothing. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Understand, so all this material stuff that we got is going to go. Then verse 20, look at verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heavens, and thou holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her, the heavenly multitude. There's going to be rejoicing in heaven when all this takes place. You say, why is there going to be happiness in heaven? It's not because people are being destroyed. It's not because people are dying. It's not because cities are being destroyed. It's because God has finally dealt out the justice that God was supposed to that God needs to deal out. Anybody ever had some? And I, you know, being a trooper, I've had a lot of court time. And if you've ever spent any time in court, you know what I'm talking about. You hate that things happen. You hate that things happen like they do. But when the sentence is finally come down, there's a joy that justice has been done. That's what this is talking about. They're not happy that all this is going on, but they're happy that justice is finally being brought to those that need it. And in verse 21 through verse 24, the accomplishment or the fall of Babylon. The Bible talks about a millstone being thrown into the sea. That is a total catastrophe. I thought about this in my mind today as I was studying this, Jackie. I could see this great angel casting in a millstone, and I could see maybe a tidal wave or something like that hitting the city of Babylon. I don't know. That's just how my mind works. Some of you need to read the Bible like that and let God start kind of going through your mind like that. Let your mind go. Understand, so that folks, this is going to be a destruction. The Bible said, now listen. This is how good the Bible is. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 42. The sea has come up upon Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of waves thereof. What does that sound like to you? God said it's going to happen in one day. God said it's going to happen in 1 hour. This total destruction. In verse 21, Babylon shall stand no more. In verse 22, the Bible says that all music is going to stop no more. In verse 22, all industry and craftsmen are going to cease. In verse 23, all appearance or habitation, no more. No candle, no electricity, nothing. Verse 23, no more weddings, no more joy, no more happiness. Verse 23 and 24, Babylon represents all the sin and murders of all time. God's judgment falls. And understand something. God ain't going to wait to then for his judgment to fall. I've seen God's judgment fall in my life. Amen? If you've been saved for any amount of time, you've seen God have to get your attention. And thank God for every time he gets my attention. Amen? I don't like it when he takes me to the woodshed, but glory to God, after he gets me there and I get out and I get back where I need to be, I'm happy that he took me.
Amen.
I don't care what it takes, folks. I want to go to heaven.
Amen.
I don't care what it takes. I want to stay right with God. And that's my heart's desire tonight. Whatever it takes, Chucky, Lord, keep me straight. Amen. If you would bow your heads.